It is a first down and 10 at the 33 of the T-Birds. Right hash. Little stretch handoff here. And Borsa with a juke and a jive. And Borsa off to the races. 10, 5. What a run. Kyle Borsa. And the Rams have the lead. That was a nifty move in the hole.
And the redemption continues. Outstanding run. A couple jukes and then that speed again by Borsa. Just hitting that hole hard all the way to the end zone. Great job by that O-line.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan, by Mark Greshner Photography, by Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage here in Regina, by Riviere Ag Seeds out there in southern Saskatchewan in the Radville area, by Boys Next Door Window Cleaning, by Sass Selects Football, and by Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn, and they're a sponsor of our Where Are They Now feature, which features Corey Holmes for grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance. Please check out Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn and Corey Zadorozniak. Time now for Where Are They Now? And a trip down memory lane with former Rider and Hamilton Tiger Cat, Corey Holmes. Corey, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, Mike. How you doing today, man?
Doing well. Hey, where are you living these days, and what are you up to, Corey?
I'm living in Greenfield, Mississippi, back in my hometown. I'm actually the director of Parks and Recreation here in the city of Greenville. I'm over all youth sports. I'm like one of the biggest athletic directors in the county. I'm responsible for making sure all the kids have something to do, all adults have something to do, all seniors have something to do. So that's what I'm doing these days. I'm still active and involved very highly in sport and still trying to make an impact.
That's awesome, man. Hey, Corey, do you still follow the Canadian Football League? And if so, what are your thoughts on the CFL not playing this year because of the pandemic?
Man, I follow the CFL. I actually got internet TV. I watch games all the time. I also watch the audience all the time. It just was kind of shocking that that they didn't have a season this year, you know, due to the fact that the NBA and MLB and all those leagues are playing. I would have thought they would at least got a couple, conference games in, and go to the playoffs. You know, even start a little later if they had to, but it was very shocking when I heard the news that they weren't going to play this year.
Yeah. Hey, Corey, when I say Saskatchewan, what immediately comes to Corey Holmes' mind?
Oh, man, family. The way the atmosphere there, the way the relationship that I built when I was there, that comes to mind, man. It's like my second home. I know I don't come there all the time, but I still talk about that place because it was a place where I actually grew. I was able to find myself there, and I'm very fortunate to have played in Saskatchewan and also have been part of a great organization there.
I want to talk about a couple of years specifically. 2002 was a breakthrough year for Corey Holmes. You led the team with 7 touchdowns, over 1,000 kick return yards, and over 1,000 punt return yards. You were named a Western Division All-Star, a CFL Special Teams Player of the Year, and MVP of the Rough Riders. Did you feel like you finally had arrived in 2002, or do you ever really feel like you arrive in pro sports?
Well, you never really feel like you arrive in pro sports because it's what it is. It's pro sports, you know. They're always looking for, to bring in guys, and it's a business, So I never felt like I arrived, as far as field, because I had to always come back in the next year and do better than I did the year before. But the times that we had in the locker room, those were the major things, man. The relationship that you was able to build with the teammates, and also with the people who were there supporting you, as far as the fans there, those were the things that always will be in your heart, and always will be would always have a lasting impact on you. And so every year, it was pressure on you to come back in and to perform. So I never feel like I arrived. Even after the 2005 season, I didn't feel like I arrived after that season. Yes, sir.
Yeah, let's talk about that season, because I remember being on the sidelines as a sideline reporter. It's 2005. I'm on the sidelines. I think you're playing Winnipeg, and Corey Holmes opens the season with a kickoff return for a touchdown. Did you know that that year was going to be your year? Because what a way to start it!
Man, it was like a shot off out of a cannon that year, and not knowing what to expect, because you know you come out of the preseason and. You know, a lot of times when you're a veteran, you don't really play a lot in the preseason. So we were just ready to, you know, myself was just ready to get into a real game. And when that season took off, it took off very well for myself. I think that was kind of like a record-breaking year for myself as far as, the type of season that I had. I was up for nominees for MVP of the West. You know, I was glad to be on that stage. So it was a kind of kind of year that you keep to have as a pro athlete, but I always cherish those moments, and I'm grateful for them.
Yeah, so 2005, just to go through it, man, you were a third all-time in the CFL with combined yards, 3,455, named the CFL Most Outstanding Special Teams Player, was the West nominee for Most Outstanding Players, you alluded to, a CFL All-Star, nominated for the Tom Pate Award, as voted on by your teammates. What's it like, What's it like, Corey, because a lot of us will never be in your shoes, man. What's it like to play in a season like that? Is it like everything just going your way? Does the game slow down? What's it like?
Yeah, it's like everything is kind of going your way, and you're kind of in that zone, and you just kind of let the game come to you, you know. And knowing that you know every game, you know, do have the bullseye on you to you know to set up to try to stop you, to make sure that you don't you know be an impact player. So those even though that year was a great year for me, it was a tough year also because people were preparing to stop you, you know, all the time. And also, I want to tell the listeners this. You know, you have to be humble in those situations. Knowing that you're having success, you have to know how to respond in those situations. You know, some games that, you know, we lost and, you know, maybe you didn't have as great a game as you wanted to have. So you have to know how to respond in all situations, even though you were having a great year. So humbleness, you know, is what got me through that year. And I was very grateful, you know, to my teammates, you know, them being a part of me having the success that I was having because I couldn't have done it without them.
Yeah, and tell you what, man, this game can really humble you on the business side. You were traded the next year to Hamilton. How shocking was that, buddy?
Man, it was very shocking. You know, but the relationship that I had with the organization, it was communicated well. Through our general manager at the time, Roy Shivers, you know, we needed a quarterback, and Hamilton, you know, they wanted people, you know, to make the trade and make the deal. You know, they wanted me to be a part of it, so I understood, you know, that, you know, how it happened, and it was a business, and, you know, being a place, you know, that long, and knowing the type of fan base you had built, and the you know, the type of relationship that you had there, it was hard, it was tough, it was a tough transition. But again, it's pro football, so you look for stuff like that to happen.
Yeah, and you come back to Saskatchewan in 2007, though, a memorable year for the Rough Riders, so that was good.
Yeah, that was great, man. We ended up winning the Grey Cup. That was my first time, winning. You know, my only time I went to the Grey Cup when I came back and got traded. So that was also a great memorable year, you know, to be playing up under a guy like Ken Austin. Eric Tillman, who was there at the time, you know, traded, got me back there, you know, to finish off my career there. So, you know, I had some great times there, you know, and I felt like I was traded back for a reason, you know, to go in and get that one Grey Cup that was destined for myself and those guys that was there at the time. So I had a great time in Saskatchewan. I never will forget the memories there. Never will forget the people there, and I'm always grateful to Saskatchewan.
A couple more quick questions with Corey Holmes here in the Where Are They Now feature. Did you leave Saskatchewan, though, with somewhat of a bad taste in your mouth because you were cut for money the next year? Like, as good as you were, business always reared its ugly head for Corey Holmes.
Yeah, I never left with a bitter taste because, you know, when to be in the position that I was in, is that, you know, to play that long and knowing that, I had done myself that I had kind of slowed down a little bit. I wasn't the player that I was in 2002 and definitely in 2005. And so I understood, you know, the business side of it. And I think it was more of a, I was kind of tired myself and I was kind of ready to come, you know, ready to give it up. You know, I did have offers to play other places, but I just never signed with other teams. You know, I just wanted to say, hey, look, I left playing for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And so there's never been a taste in my mouth. You know, I know the business side of it. So, again, that's part of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm always grateful, you know, for that opportunity. And I tell, you know, younger guys that I coach now that, hey, you know, learn the business side of this thing and learn to accept, you know, constructive criticism. And you can always, you know, leave with them on a positive note.
Yeah, Corey, you went into coaching right after the Riders, and then you found yourself as a mayor. How did you get into politics, man?
Man, that's something that I never thought I would have been, you know, been involved in. But you know, the people, you know, in my hometown, even now, they still need me. Actually, now I live in a bigger city now. They want me to run for mayor now, but I just don't really want to get back into politics. But I found myself in those leadership roles. Was able to stay there for 8 years. Didn't see that one coming, Mike. You know, it was a great experience for me. It actually, you know, brought out a lot of things that I had inside of me, especially with caring for people and being able to help people. And so now I am looking at other political views, you know, trying to get into other political things, but not being married. I'm planning to try to get on the state level to be like a state official or something like that, dealing with a House seat or something like that. So I am looking to do something like that. But politics, hey, that's part of it too. It's where we also need great people, you know, to be able to help good people.
Yeah, for sure. Corey, a couple of football-related questions, then I'll let you go. What is it better to take a kick return back or a punt return? What did you like doing better?
I like the punt returns a lot better.
Why is that?
The punt returns were it seemed like they happened a lot faster because it was a tougher kick and a tougher catch coming out the air.
Right.
And it felt more exciting to take the punt return back.
Yeah, that's good. That makes sense. Okay, what was Corey Holmes' favorite route out of the backfielder when they lined you up in the slot? What was your favorite route you like to run?
Oh man, I used to love to run the wheel route. Coming out of the backfield, get the linebackers one-on-one. I make it look like I'm running to the flat, and I turn up on the wheel route. So I used to love to run the wheel route.
Awesome. Okay, if Corey Holmes could play one more game or one more play, you know, be young Corey Holmes again, what play or game would you like to be in?
What play or game would you like to be in?
Yeah, like what if you could do it all over again, be in a game or a certain play, what would you like to rewind and be right back in that moment?
Man, I like to be back playing against Winnipeg. on Labor Day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Yeah, those were some of the great rivalries that we had. Winnipeg, I love to be in one of those Labor Day games against Winnipeg and Saskatchewan.
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. Okay, Corey, you got 30 seconds. Anything you want to say to Rough Rider Nation here as we wrap up this interview?
Glad to be back, you know, on the interview, and glad for you all to hear my voice. I want to let the people of Saskatchewan know that I still have love for you. Miss you guys. And I am on Facebook. If anybody wants to see me, I'm showing press on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, Corey Holmes. I love to reach out to some of you all and just start, you know, chatting with you all. And again, thank you, Mike, for having me on this show.
Thanks, buddy. I really appreciate it. Enjoyed your time in Rider Nation helping to build the team we love. Take care, my friend.
Yes, sir, Mike. Thank you, man.
This is the Pick 6 brought to you by the SAS Selects football program out there in Moose Jaw with Zelko Stefanovic and his crew out there. They've got a 7-on-7 league firing up here right away this week, I believe it's starting. You can check out their Facebook page or their website for more details. It's going to be great. A junior varsity team, a varsity team, and of course an adult team as he continues to try to grow the game of football in trying times. And that's what I love about that guy. He's like a pit bull. He never stops. Anyway, the Pick 6 is where I break down, sometimes with guests, sometimes myself, just break down 6 topical stories making the rounds in the world of sports. We'll start in the CFL. Big play VA, Vernon Adams Jr., the highest profile guy to opt out of his contract. The Al's quarterback signed a 3-year extension in January, which means his CFL rights are held by Montreal through the 2022 season. He collected a $20,000 roster bonus plus $165,000 signing bonus in 2020, but due to dude was an Uber Eats driver here in this long off season. You can't blame him for looking out for himself and trying to find an NFL opportunity. I don't think he's going to get one, but good luck. He did send a message to Al's fans saying, "I want everyone who reads this to know that I am still completely committed to this franchise and city going forward, and that should no NFL opportunity materialize this year, I'll be returning to the Alouettes in 21 with the exact same goal in mind. Let's build a dynasty." Good luck to Big Play VA. I really like him. Wish somehow they could have kept him here in Rider Nation. Speaking of Rider Nation, Canadian offensive lineman Dakota Shepley has signed with the San Francisco 49ers. It's a one-year deal for this season with the defending NFC champs. He beat out two other offensive linemen who were selected in the past NFL drafts, Jamin Brown, a third-rounder in 2015, and Ted Larson, a sixth-rounder in 2010 for a contract. He's 6'4", 301 pounds when I talked to him from his hotel room the other day in the San Francisco area, so he'll need to put on some weight to play guard. Got to be about 315, 320, but good on Dakota Shepley as he finds some work during this trying time. Don't worry, CFL fans. I know a lot of people are panicking. Oh, we're losing our good players. Oh, the league is doomed. Listen, we'll always find players. I don't think Vernon Adams Jr. is going to find himself a job. Hopefully he does, but I don't think he will. And he'll be back here when the season resumes. As it relates to Shepley, here's a guy that did have a chance with the New York Jets. He's slowly gotten better as the season went on last year with his pad level and consistency and aggressiveness. And he goes in there, earns himself a spot, and, you know, hopefully the kid sticks around, and if not, I'm sure the Riders and others will be happy to bring him back. But you can't get upset because we're losing players to the NFL. It looks good on the CFL and more eyes on our league, and that can't be a bad thing. Number two in Ballsy's pick six, Black Lives Matter. Now, I'm a white dude on the prairie, so I'm not going to talk too much about it or give my opinion, but Shaq Evans, the Rider receiver, took a break from social media, but he came back late last week, and he might be regretting it a bit. Had to come back real quick after I heard what Saskatchewan fans had to say about BLM and boycotts. Wow, super disappointing as I had a lot of love for Sask. Not anymore. Always wanted to play there. Now I'm not so sure, Evans wrote. And please, anyone that wants to negatively comment, please do so I can block you. Well, he apologized, saying he didn't mean to paint everyone with the same brush. I think that's the, with Black Lives Matter, when you're talking about other things, where we're talking politics or religion or social injustice. Yet on both sides, we need to take a step back. We need to consider the other person's point of view. And before you tweet it or put it on social media, as I've said many, many, many times, before you put something on social media, go into a room, say it to yourself out loud two or three times. Let it marinate for a minute or two. If it doesn't sound good, if it doesn't feel good in your gut, don't do it. LeBron James says he was ready to sit out the remainder of the basketball season if the NBA and its players didn't come up with improved social justice initiatives following the shooting of Jacob Blake. When I went to bed, I had major reservations about playing, the Lakers superstar told The Athletic's Joe Vardon on Wednesday. King James is the king of sports right now for athletes, and I really hope he uses his power wisely, because sometimes I don't know that he does. I mean, he helps a lot of kids out, schools, supplies, all that type of stuff. You can't deny that. But sometimes I don't know if he gets all the facts before he rushes to judgment, and he has a very influential voice. So I watch that with optimism and interest. Number four in Ballsy's pick six. I think that if the NBA players were looking for serious change, they would have sat out the rest of the playoffs. 2 days of no action gets people talking for sure, but has little impact over the long run, in my opinion. But money talks, and when players realize by not playing, they'd have to rip up their CBA and renegotiate during a pandemic with a TV deal still up in the air, and maybe lose 30% of their salary, the thought process changed, which I find very interesting. Sunday's baseball game between the Astros and Athletics has been postponed following a positive COVID-19 test on the Athletics, the team announced. Oakland's traveling party will self-isolate in Houston after conducting testing and contact tracing. In the last 5 days, the Astros have had two games postponed because of the Hurricane Laura threat and one contest rescheduled after the team walked off the field in protest of social injustice. MLB has had all 30 teams play on the same day only three times this season. Early on, we jumped on them, but I think by and large, they've done a pretty good job without a bubble. And number six on Ballsy's pick six for the SAS Selects football program. 4 years ago today, Teddy Bridgewater suffered a non-contact knee injury that at the time was believed to not only be career-threatening, but potentially loss of limb-threatening. He tore his left ACL and dislocated the same knee at practice, an injury that was described by many around him, including his doctors, as horribly grotesque. He needed two surgeries to mend it. There was fear his left leg would have to be amputated. Well, 4 years later, Bridgewater's in camp with the Carolina Panthers, their starting quarterback, after signing a three-year, $63 million contract with them in the offseason. It took countless hours of rehab and countless hours of practice to get himself back into a position to play football again. And then it took a Drew Brees injury for Bridgewater to get a chance to prove that he can still be a starting caliber quarterback in the league, which he did in 2019. So I guess the message to the young kids, listen to this podcast, keep grinding. I know we're in a tough spot here with the COVID-19 situation. Will we have a high school football season? I know guys like Zelko Stefanovic doing the 7-on-7 league out in Saskatoon with Saskatoon Minor Football. They're trying to do something to make up for the fact there will be no official fall high school football season. Maybe we can get a full season in the spring. Who knows? All I want to say to the kids is keep your heads on straight. Keep grinding. This won't last forever. Good times are ahead. Believe it. And turn to Teddy Bridgewater to know perseverance pays off.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.